But I want to start on a certain note. Hosea 6 from verse 2 to 3. Hosea chapter 6 from verse 2 to 3. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 6 from verse 2, it says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Glory. My emphasis is in verse 3. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. Let me read that verse 3 again. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Listen, this camp meeting will not make any sense to you if you have not unlocked that quest to know the Lord. If we follow on to know the Lord, there is a following on to know the Lord. I got born again under some very interesting circumstances many years ago. 2025 August, to make it 20 years since I got born again. And I'm not saying 20 years since I started attending church, because I was actually born into the church. I was born, they gave birth to me today, the next day I was taken to church. My own naming ceremony was done the day after I was born. My parents were pastors and missionaries. And my father was assassinated on the 6th of November 1997 after preaching engagements, because he was accused of turning too many people to Christ. And the Muslim mafia team said we must gun him down. And they did. Are you with me? I cannot forget Basharun Road, Ibadan, where they opened the gate. These people opened the gate for us. I was quite grown. I was not a complete baby like that. So I can remember the way the place looked. It was not in the night. It was in the afternoon. I remember how they opened the gate and he came in and they said, where is he? Where is he? And my mom picked me and began to run. The last things I heard were gunshots behind me. And by the time we came back later in the evening, we used the blood to trace where his body was. And so, I had a beef against God. I felt like maybe Christianity is a scam. I felt like, what if church is not what they say it really is? Are you with me? Please, are you with me? Yes, don't sleep. Are you with me? And so those days, I remember people coming to preach to me. At least I can remember secondary school. They'll come and preach to me. And they'll say, David, the way life you are living. And when they start preaching to me, I'll be laughing. Because the Bible, I survey the Bible. Before they talk one, I'll give you two. When they talk three, I'll give you four. At the point, people stop preaching to me. Because the guy knows the stuff, but it's just not serious with God. And that was how I was. I was like that. And there's a name they used to call me there, and rugged. Hey! Then after our GS3, we had this long vacation. And some teenagers came to preach to me. I told them, I'm not a sinner. I don't do anything bad. They said, come for our teenage forum. Come. They were inviting me. I said, come. I said, leave this thing. Say, rugged, come. Say, leave this thing. All these spiritual spirits, leave it first. But I don't know. I believe God was at work. Because that questioning is true. Are you with me? And I went for this teenage forum, and somebody preached. I think he preached from 2 Timothy chapter 2. But when he was done, I came up for the altar call. But I was not satisfied. I went back, started reading the Bible. I started asking myself, what if this Bible is really true? And I began to read and read and read. Then, at a point, I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the big church and go out for altar call. And I started going out for altar call. Every Sunday, again and again, and again. They noticed, the ushers in the church noticed. I'm talking about this 3,000 to 5,000 seater church. They said, don't come out again. You came out 2 weeks ago. You came out last week. You came out. I said, I want to be saved. I said, okay. If you have come out those times, you are saved.
He said, you know what, go for foundation school.
And we went to a foundation school and they began to teach new Christian realities, knowing the Lord. The third class was the Holy Spirit and tongues. And that's when my life changed.
Laid hands on me. I didn't feel anything. At the point, I said, this man is pressing my head too much. I will not fall. I said, oh God, I'm not going to fall. And I did not fall. But after a while, I felt like somebody was just speaking in tongues in my head. And I began to speak it out. And he said, that's it. And within me, I was like, really? But I noticed that as I kept on speaking in tongues, because I can't forget, every time we met in church, they would ask me, I hope you are still speaking in tongues. I would say, yes, sir. And I said, I don't want to lie. So I would go back. I would go back home and speak in tongues. And I would read my Bible. Sometimes I read the Bible, sleep off. One day, reading that Bible and praying in tongues, God spoke to me. A clear, distinct voice. Not even in my ear. It was inside me, but I heard a voice. And he told me something. Then I joined the choir. He told me, your choir director, Mrs. Uford, is going to come and meet you and tell you to take the solo. I said, if this thing happens, then I know I heard God. If it does not happen, then it's not God. And just as I was told, it happened. Oh. The next week, I heard again. It happened. The next week, oh. I said, wait. So this thing is real like this. Ah. By the time I resumed SS1, they knew that this guy, somebody has changed. This guy. The people that were trying to preach to me, I went to preach to them back. I cannot forget Tuka looking at me saying, I was the one supposed to preach to you. But you are preaching to me, but and it's like your own, eh? It's like he's choking me more. When I was done, I led the people that wanted to lead me to Christ to Christ. Then we had the program. I told all my classmates. I said, you know what? When we are done with exams, I don't know what secondary schools are like, but I know those days when we are done with exams, they just stay and then play and just come to school and run around and maybe even watch movie on their phones or something. So I told everybody, you know what? This time around, we are not playing. Everybody, tell them that I'm holding a program. I said, program. You program. I said, God told me, the same voice I heard that told me all those things. I said, that God has told me that I should call all of you. Let's hold the program. Prayed for the first person. That one fell and spoke in. Now, me, I did not fall to speak in tongues, but I prayed for somebody. The person fell. Fell under the power. I looked at my hands like this. I went to the next person. That one fell. I went to the third person. This one did not fall. Instead, she just began to twist. And looked at me. We watch you every night. Her voice changed. David, we know you. You disturb us with all those your midnight prayers. You don't let us rest in the night. You disturb our coven. Ah, it dawned on me, I'm dealing with a demon here. And I've never cast out a demon before. But you see, that genuine encounter with God, that genuine experience of God was doing something within me. I didn't even know when I started speaking in tongues. Shouting, Makapalakate! And the thing would be doing like this. No! Leave this place! And after, I didn't know what it means to cast out demons. And so that dropped the lady on the floor and saying, I started saying, we will kill her here. And you will be in big trouble. We will kill her here. And my friend took her, who used to preach to me those days, now went and actually checked her pulse rate and said, she's dying. Her breath is going. I was confused. I said, what will I do? I was now thinking, who sent me now? Who sent me this one? I would have just stayed where I was. Why did I over? This over. While that was happening, our school chaplain, who we never took serious, Pastor Emmanuel, one joku, just walked in with that suit. Open the door. He said, David, where are you? He said, I've been watching you from my office. I said, how, sir? He said, we'll talk about that later. He said, do you have anointing oil? Do you have water? I said, no. He said, bring anything. He blew into it and splashed on her. And she came out. By this time, students have gathered outside. Everybody's watching. waiting to happen. What's going on in this school? By the next morning, more than 100 students were waiting. They were already praying. They were singing, "That is why you are called." Ministry has started. I went back home, looked at my house. The pastor now called me and said, when that was happening, God showed him a screen in his office. So I said, wait. So there are levels in this thing. Oh, somebody can be in his office and see a screen. God showed him a screen. Ah, listen, if you die, and if Christ comes and you go to heaven, and discover how much you missed by not taking God seriously, you will cry. I'm telling you. Oh, you think adventure is doing what they call weekend getaway? The parents will say, don't go for weekend with your friends, but you sneak out in the night when they were sleeping, and that was adventure for some people. You don't know what adventure is. No, you don't know what adventure is. When you are joining with God, from that day, my work, the desire to know God exploded. So I went back, kept on reading the Bible, kept on praying. So many things happened. I can't talk about the fact that even my mental IQ increased. I will pray, go and read my books. And I'll see a man, I cannot forget chemistry mock exam. I read and read Ababio. Read at a point I just slept off. And I saw a man walk up, wrote on the board, said, "This question is coming out tomorrow. Am I there?" I said, "Yes, sir. Carbon and its properties. This is the equation for the combustion assemblage." Started writing C plus O equals. Wrote all the equations down. I woke up and said, "Thank you, Jesus." Wrote the equations down. Wrote everything down. You remember what I was talking about last week? The spiritual laws and natural laws, right? Yes, sir. Went for that exam. The exam was over 200. After the exam, my chemistry teacher called me and said, "David, come." He said, "We know you before. We know that God was helping your life." He said, "But in this exam, what happened?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened?" He said, "The difference between you and the next person was 100 marks. 100 marks. You scored almost 180 something. The next person was 80 something. I said, "Really?" You know, once they tell you that, your voice will change. Oh, interesting. Wow. Now, I didn't tell anybody what happened. But I knew that while I was putting in my effort, God took it to another level. You know, I'm telling you all these stories. When I read that verse, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." So I look back over these years in my journeys in knowing the Lord, and it's like I'm still starting knowing the Lord. Do you really know the Lord? The purpose of church is to get you to know the Lord, to know the Lord intimately, to know the Lord deeply, passionately. Are you with me? Do you really know the Lord? Can you say you know God? "Then shall we know." A time now came. Before, in church, I used to sleep off. Every service, I'm asleep. I don't used to get anything they used to say. I don't used to understand anything. After a while, I discovered that if I read my Bible and I get one or two points, I will go to church, and it's as if the pastor, our bishop then, the bishop, is as if he's preaching my notes. And many times he will preach it and expand it and take it further. I'm like, something is happening here. I will go back and read something. It does not happen in every time, but most of the times, are you with me? Yes, sir. It was as if gradually God was working with me. After secondary school, I couldn't go into university immediately. Things were very well with my family. Money was very abundant, if you know what that means. Not available. But I had found something. I wake up in the morning. I'll go and do evangelism. I mean, dress up corporate. Go to church and collect tracts and start evangelizing. One day, my choir director called me and said, "Your own is too much. Like, how old are you? 15, 14. Your mates are playing game. playing PS2. You say it's Eva. I said, is Jesus real or not? Is it at a point I could not really understand how somebody said he's a Christian and you are not zealous about the gospel? Maybe you don't know who Christ is. Or maybe you are just acting. You know, some people are just acting. They've not really touched this thing. Are you with me? They've not really touched it, the substance of it. I want to start from here so that you know why we are doing all of this. I knew what it means for Christ to change a man. When the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The things that I was excited about before, gradually my desires began to change. How I knew the change has gotten so serious was when there were some certain habits I was struggling with before. Thoughts I was struggling with before. At the point, after 3-4 months into the journey, I'm like, where are those thoughts? Where are those thoughts? Am I saying temptations do not come? But when temptations are coming, the truth is that if you are tested of something sweeter and stronger, you can say, this one, I know I like you, but I love this one. I may have liked you, but there is something I love more. Then shall we follow on to know the Lord. To know the Lord. To know the Lord. Hey! Now, while all of this was happening, I did not know that God was planning for me. See, when you spend your life to know the Lord, you will discover, like he told you, then shall we know if you follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come on forth as the rain. Glory! As the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Meaning, my God. A time will come in your life when the blessings of God begins to rain upon you. You will not even know what has been happening. I used to go and evangelize. I would preach. I'm not going to school now, Abby. But I will go for jam lessons in the evening. I will preach, I will evangelize. That was my life. I evangelized in the morning, jam lessons in the evening. One day, I finished that routine and I ran into a man. He said, I know you. So if you have heard this my story 1 million times, I will still not be tired. I know you may be tired, but I will not be tired of sharing. One man ran, he said, I know you. How are you? How is your mother? I said, it's fine. He said, come to my house. I said, you know my house now. You've come that time. I'm like, I've forgotten the address. He said, okay, remember, it's so and so place. So I went to the house. He said, so what is your plan for school? I've been seeing you moving everywhere with tracts. Do you want to become a pastor? I said, well, if that's what... He said, come, keep quiet. What's your plan for school? What's your plan for school? I said, I want to go to school. What do you want to study? I said, I want to study engineering. He said, why didn't you tell me? I said, sir. You will not just see somebody and say, sir, come and train me. It doesn't work like that now. He said, have you heard of Covenant University? He said, Bishop Oedipus is in prison. Have you heard of it? I said, so that school, I've heard about the money is too much. That, I said, I and my mother, we are planning one polytechnic, and there's nothing wrong. Are you with me? I said, it's one polytechnic we are planning. He said, you know what? Where's my wife? Call my wife for me. I said, Auntie Remy, come. He said, bring her 100,000. 100,000, that's not nine. Give this boy, let him call his mother. Tomorrow he's taking first flight. I've never seen a flight physically. I've only seen it in the sky or in TV. But to be close range to it, I got into the plane and was going to that school. That was how I went. God, it looked like God took over. When we are telling people to, you know, when we go to preach and we invite people to church and we say, come and know the Lord. Sometimes they're like, we'll come to your church. Then next time you come to my own. Yeah. They think they are trying to help us. Praise the Lord. It looks like it's about, you think church is my business, or is that like our business, our enterprise? They are trying to help our enterprise. No, this is God's enterprise. This is God's institution to help you. I finished. I was trained throughout. God planned for me. And that was not where the testimony ended, though. I had found something. So even though I went to school for school, I know the Lord. From day one, I entered that school. Hey, Makaburia, same Mamaya. From day one. From day one. My floor mates, I led all of them to Christ. All of them. It's later I knew what they were going. I did not know what they were struggling with. It was after one told me. You may know Michael Kirigunde. He said, Pastor, if you know what you did, then it was Sadiv this come. He said, if you know what you did to all of us in this floor, he said, you see that one? That one. Him and his father were alcoholics. Like him and his biological father, they used to drink. Who would drink more? He said, you see that one? That one was a chain smoker. You see that one? That one was a womanizer. You see this one? This one was a porn addict. See, you came to this floor. Sorry, God. Then shall we follow on. From there, knowing the Lord, I began to grow in spiritual things. After a while, God launched me into a new place where I began to see visions. Just vision. It was about visions. In school, people will be doing technical drawing. We are doing the technical drawing. I will look at a sister in the same class. We are all doing engineering drawing. I said, excuse me, I want to see you. Said, while I was drawing, the Lord showed me something. I saw your mother. So how did you know? A time came. Students will come and meet me. I cannot forget the lady that met me. She said, she did like this. I said, why? She said, I heard you see. Please scan me. I said, no, I don't see like that. It's the only word God shows me I will see. If he does not show me, I will not see anything. Like now, I cannot see anything. Bye. But I'm telling you all the stories in my journeys. Then shall we know if you follow us to know the Lord. Shall we know? Covenant was great, but that was just still the beginning. That was just the beginning. There was more. Outside. Before I went for youth service, I said, Lord, I want to walk somewhere. He said, you want to walk somewhere? Yes, yes. So one day, I was in a taxi, taking taxi from X-Force Junction to Waze Junction. And just as I was about to come down, my eyes flipped and I saw a building and heard the Lord say, go there. There's vacancy. I said, but I did not see any vacancy. I said, go there. Then shall we follow on to know? Walked in there and said, I want to apply for a job here. The man looked at me. How do you know there was vacancy? I said, I want to apply. I can't start telling you Holy Spirit. He may look at me weird, like, who's this guy? I said, I want to apply. He said, you know what? Drop your phone number here. Come on Tuesday next week. There's an interview. I got there. They were like 40. Everybody wore suits. Me, I wore t-shirt and papa's cap. Like, I didn't know what I was going to meet. Well, I was one of those they took. Walked there. That place, maybe I walked with white people. I walked and walked and walked and walked. It's time for youth service. I wanted to walk it back to that place. I went to pray again. Papa said, don't stay here. Run. Then shall we know if you follow on to know the Lord. So, the question you want to ask yourself is, where are you in this journey? He says, it's going forth, it's prepared. Where are you in this journey? That's why we need a camp meeting. Where are you in knowing the Lord? That's why we do church. Where are you in knowing the Lord? That's why we do meetings, special programs, is to train you in your knowledge of the Lord. In your journey with the Lord, look at Abraham. This is now the Lord has spoken to Abraham. Get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, unto a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Let me tell you, the blessings of following God, you are the one that will benefit it the most. Sometimes I will know the Lord. The origins of camp meetings are from the ancient feast of Israel. The feast of Passover. The feast of Pentecost. And the feast of ingathering. Now, in each of these feasts, they will spend at least 7 days, at least 7 days before the Lord, where they will sing and worship. They will read the Torah. They will eat before the Lord. Very soon, our camp meeting, the Lord will receive the resources to make it like that. Amen. They will eat before the Lord, perform some rituals and special service before the Lord, and receive instructions. And they will end with a special celebration and a blessing. Are you with me? See, no Israelite was permitted to miss those feasts. If you miss it, in fact, it is so serious that even all over the world, Jews will travel down. Maybe you were carried away somewhere. When it comes to feast, Passover, Pentecost, what they call Feast of Weeks, and the final Feast of Ingathering, you will travel. Everybody will. You will clear your schedule and come down. As an Israelite, you will be considered very unserious to take the feast lightly. People traveled down. Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch? If you have read Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch actually traveled to come for the feast of Pentecost. And it was believed that without this special feast, Israel will wander away from the plan of God and get into spiritual bankruptcy. And Jesus came and continued. Jesus continued camp meetings. So in camp meetings, you stay. Actually, the way camp is supposed to be, you're not supposed to go home. There's supposed to be an accommodation. Are you with me? We'll get there. Where 5,000 people can come. Because that's how Jesus did it. They will stay. He will teach them morning till night. The mornings are usually for teachings and prayers and worship. In the evenings are for the moves of the Spirit. Or power. You will see in Matthew chapter 8 from verse 18. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him those that were sick and bedridden and all of that. And he began to heal them. Are you with me? Okay. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him men that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. That was a camp meeting. You will see Matthew 15 verse 32. Then Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. This was the multiplication of the loaves of bread. You remember? And fishes. I discovered something. Something that people will fight me for. Jesus never multiplied food for outsiders. Jesus did not go on the road and just say, you know what? People, free bread from heaven available at Jesus' bread making center. Jesus did not even do philanthropy. He only did things like this for those who continued with him. Does this not look like what we just read? Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then shall we know. Oh, you are confused about your life. You are confused about where you are going to. You are confused about what will my life look like. He says, if you follow on to know the Lord, you will eventually know. Are you with me? He says, they have continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Like, he kept people fasting for 3 days in the wilderness. Sir, what was so serious that you were teaching them that you don't allow them go home? Maybe there is something Jesus takes in teaching ministry, in people staying with him that we have not considered serious. It was for these people that he multiplied the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And it fed 5,000 men. Acts chapter 1 from verse 2 to 3. After he resurrected, let me read from verse 3. He says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So now, Jesus, after resurrection, stayed with his disciples for 40 days. 40-day camp meeting, sir. 40 days. Today is 10th of November. Imagine we start camp meeting today. Eh? And we finish on the 20th of December. What will you say? In fact, it's not even possible. Before we finish 1 week, all of you have gone home. No, we can't do it. It's not possible. But that was Jesus' style of ministry. You know, people just come online and say, we don't want church today. We want Jesus. Are you sure? Give me Jesus' style of church. I don't like church. This church is... I just want Jesus. You want Jesus? He sees how Jesus used to do ministry. 40 days. You know, one of the things that will happen when you stay long with Jesus, that's what really tests if you really belong to him. Because the flesh will be so pressed out. And what used to be a duty will turn to a delight. Let me tell you, I know that conventional church, this is not the style. See, it is easy to come and preach about the blessings of God. And I believe, do I believe in the blessings of God? Of course, emphatically, yes. I believe in prosperity. I believe in signs and wonders. I believe in miracles. But let me tell you something. If you get blessings and you get miracles and you don't know God, you are still bankrupt. Look at Jesus. After multiplying the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, you can even read the account of John chapter 6. A time now, they now wanted to make him king. Do you know what he said to them? He says, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. You want to make me king because of what I gave to you. He said, I am the bread come down from heaven. So if you are looking for physical bread and ignoring spiritual bread, Jesus is telling you that you are confused. He says, labor not for the meat that which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him God the Father hath sealed. Do you know what he's telling them? I just multiplied bread for you. It does not take God anything to prosper you. It does not take anything to make God. I know what I'm saying. At least I told you some testimonies. I know what I'm saying. I know what it means, that today, you don't have a car. You're walking on your feet like this. Tomorrow, you are driving a Jeep. I know what I'm talking about. If it's about God blessing you, God can do like this. I have sons and disciples, that when they met me, their salary was 25K. Some of them are earning more than 2 million naira now per month. I know what I'm saying. So if you want to chase things, chase. At the end of the journey, you find that you wasted your time. Are you with me? If you want to chase God, you will find out that he shall come unto us as the rain. Are you following me? I just told my own personal story. I can go on and on. In my own story, I can tell you things. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. The more I grow, even in ministry, I've told myself, nothing will distract me from knowing the Lord. If I come and you don't come for service, I will come, pray, serve, worship God, do his work. And I know, a man, a bishop in this town told me something. He told me, David, listen and never forget this. No man trades with God and lose. No man does business with God and goes into loss. I was like, wow. He said, no man trades with God. In the end, it will be obvious that the one that followed the Lord. I'm telling you, sir, you know what to take important. You know what to take as gold. Pastor, I'm not married. Pastor, I want money. Pastor, I want to go to school. God? Is it God you are talking about? God. Ha. And I know what I'm saying may sound strange. That, how will we just come and spend time praying, listening to the word of God, worshiping, and just soaking into God? They call it, this church said, where we don't, they go and they call it immersion camp. They just want us to clear the whole Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to inside church. Ha! Now, wow. It's pretty cool because this is all these pastors. But let me tell you, what I'm saying may sound strange, but you do it. In your personal life, you do this thing. You do it. Let me give you examples. How many of you drive, or you have driven before, or you are driving? God will give you a new car. Amen. Say amen. Oh. Amen. No sensible driver drives his car from January to December without going for servicing. If you keep driving your car, you drive. They don't change oil. They don't change brake pad. They don't check the legs. One day, that's the thing to see on the road where you see somebody's car like this. Like, the car is like this, but the front car tire has come out like this. Who has seen that thing before? I didn't call any car's name. Do you know what causes that thing? Because it has happened to me. When your car is making sound, you will turn crump. You will be hearing the sound, but you say, no, I'll go manage them. Go take it for servicing. You say, no, I want to still hustle and make some money. This boat, I must make some money. Or taxi people, or whoever. I want to. The car is telling you, I need servicing. But you say, no, I must drive you. Then one day, the leg will do. Or the engine will knock, and then that maintenance you did not do, you will leave that car in the mechanic maybe for 3 days. But that thing will not take less than 4 to 5 hours to fix. Every car owner knows that from time to time, you must leave your car in the mechanic for a day, or 2 days, or 3 days. Is that not camp meeting? Your spiritual life is giving you sign. You cannot remember the last time you prayed for 1 hour. Your prayer life is giving you sign. You see yourself, the things of the world are choking you. You see, every time I'm struggling with this habit. This thing, I'm struggling. Your anger is too much. Your character is having issues. God is telling you, seek me, seek me. Take out time. Go for camp meeting and seek me. Go for spiritual servicing. You say no. After a while, the person's tired in the spirit them do. Say, I don't know why I'm not moving forward. You are fired. I don't know why I'm not moving forward. There are matters in the spirit to fix. The Holy Ghost has matters on your life to fix. I don't know why it is. The Holy Ghost has matters in your destiny to fix. But in the spirit, the car is like this. Some of you, your clothes, you will not wash clothes until there's no more clothes to wear. So one day you declare laundry day. You start washing. Is that not camp meeting? You wash from morning till night. The whole house is dirty. You start cleaning this house. All of you come out. Your mother will say, come out. You will bring the chair. You dust here. You clean here. That's how camp meeting is. God says, open up, open up. Let's clean up. Let's clean up. Let's, that's camp meeting. Some people, one day is not enough. Some people, the way it is, their own camp meeting starts after the camp meeting. Because the issues in their, Jesus. Has your phone not died before to the point where when you plug to the to charger, it will not show light though, until after 1 hour? It will not say, I'm alive. You will not see one yellow light. Say, I'm back. Some people's spiritual life is like that. They need to charge, plug. Don't put it on. Don't use it. Plug it. Just leave it there. We need these things. Are you with me? And God mandated in Israel, they will have it at least 3 times. 3 times every year. People who service their cars, you know that you must service your car more than once in a year now. You know how many times do you change oil? Some people, every month they change oil. Every month. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this is why we must have camp meeting. This is why we must have camp meeting. This, what they call SMS. Short message service. SMS. That's not what will help you. You can be putting small fuel in the car. But there is a way your fuel will be so small, you will spoil your fuel pump. Am I talking to you? You cannot keep driving your car on reserve without spoiling the fuel pump. Some of you, your spiritual life has been living on reserve. It's that small prayer they will do on Sunday. That small one, you all get it on midweek. Just they manage and they go. Manage and they go. At least I never die. Just they go. The way some people are looking, some people remove their face. They say, Pastor, Pastor. I should shoot you, Rabbi. Sometimes you need to fill up your tank. I'm taking my time. See, for instance, I have to, if it's about the word of God, I'm full of the word of God. Yes, if it's about to me to teach you sermons, today I have 3 teachings. I was confused. When will I teach? I can teach the gospel in his ascension. Okay, somebody asked me a question about if God, Jesus is God, why was he praying to God? Should I answer that one? Okay, which one will I teach? The camp meeting. We have 16 sessions. I have 20 teachings. So I'm not teaching this because we don't know what to. But I want you to take God serious. I know what I'm saying. God cares for you. God loves you. He loves you more than you can ever love yourself. You have no idea. You have no idea of what he has planned for you. I'm telling you. You have no idea. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13. He said, my people have committed 2 evils. They are forsaking me, the fountain of living water. They are forsaking me, the fountain of living water, and have built for themselves systems, broken systems that can hold no water. After my life, when I'm trying to do things on my own, trying, I remember I say, leave this thing. Let me face God. Whenever I face God, I find that his hand is powerful. Are you with me? When it looks like your things are not working, okay, you're hustling, you're trying. You know, people say, Pastor, what? I'm 36, I'm not married. I get all those calls. People call me from different places. Pray for me. Pray for me. I will pray for you. But after I pray for them, I try. Are you ready to know the Lord? Say, Pastor, I need to be properly positioned so that people will see me. You don't know how God works. Oh, you think God is limited by? Oh, let me talk to a lady here. You think God is limited by who will see you?
God sees you. You are not hidden.
Ah. A lady was telling me her own testimony how she got married. When her friends saying in the church, we must go and be in the choir, they must see us. Some say we must be in ushering, they must see us. Some say we must be in front of the gates where the greeters, as we are here, they will see us. She said, me, God has told me to go and serve in children's department. Say, ha, who will see you there? The man that God brought for her was part of the himself. And something said, enter that place. He entered. You know when? He looked at the lady and said, I want to be your friend. After 2 weeks, I want to marry you. He said, I don't want to date. I just know in my heart it's you. Ha. Now she married first among the crew. No, you, God, you want God, God. My first oil company job, how did I get it? I closed from service, I was going home. A man looked at me and said, ah, where have you been? Ah, I've been looking for you. I said, sir, I'm not hiding. I've been looking for you. He said, I heard you're a smart young man. Take my card, come to the office tomorrow. Let's talk. The job came to meet me. Yeah, say, then someone say, also, this is a not by power, not by might, but by the spirit. Are you with me? Not by power. Wake up and take your work with God serious. Wake up. Wake up. Tell your neighbor, wake up. And that's why I'm trying to get you to prepare. I'm just trying to awaken your mind to get alert. Tell your neighbor, get alert. Tell them, be alert. It is a serious approach that guarantees a glorious result. And, my God. People say, if it's for me to come to me, it's not always like that. For Elijah to tell Elisha, if you can see me when I'm taking up, the double portion will be yours. That means there is a connection between attention and impartation. There is a connection between attention and impartation. If you can see me, if you can see me, will I be blind? Sir, I will not be blind. My eyes are open. What do you mean if I can see you? That means there is a sight beyond your physical sight that you must catch. Ah! We had a service one time in Port Harcourt. Let me tell you, wherever you are in this camp meeting, God will touch you. This guy was suffering from gonorrhea. All his private parts, those strange things are growing there. Strange objects was growing there. We are having service like 2020 Charismata camp meeting. I was ministering, laying hands on usually the last day I would do impartation service. I was laying hands, and when I laid hands and passed him, this was his testimony. I didn't even know he had that sickness. He said that after I laid hands and passed him, a man walked up to him and said, I've given you a new body. So he turned back and there was nobody there. Of course, that's the angels of his presence. He turned back and there was nobody. January the next year, he went to Bates and he saw that whole thing. It was spilling on his falling down on the floor. He kept on falling down. By the end of January, all his pubic area was like there was nothing there. God no be anybody, mate. That means in the spirit realm, attention is currency. That's why they tell you pay attention. Pay it. Attention is a kind of payment for spiritual treasures. It means to be watchful. So, quickly, how must we be alert for the immersion camp? Number one, place priority on God. Place priority on God. That's what I've been trying to say from the beginning. Place priority on God. Place priority on God. Don't push God to the back burner. Don't make God your emergency response. Let him be your steering wheel. Are you with me? Don't make God your spare tire. Make him your steering. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. So this is even a sermon on his own. You don't wake up in the morning and just carry your phone and say, who did message me? They'll carry their phone and write up and grateful, but they've not told God they are up and grateful. That's why they want to do that. Some assaults, their ways will be bent. Wake up and say, up and grateful. Somebody say, you are carrying your phone. You never check if they talk. Even if you don't want to do morning devotion, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Can you just say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. Number two, pray towards the camp. Pray. People don't pray for services. Some people just, they don't pray for camp meetings. You know, we are going for it. For instance, today is Sunday. How many people, don't raise your hand. How many people say, Lord, in today's service, let your word come with power. Lord, let the man of God minister with grace. Everyone that's going to minister, let it touch me at the point of my need. Did you pray like that? Don't raise your hand. But that's a Christian, a genuine believer. Lord, in this service, pray. The Bible says, Luke chapter 5, from verse 16, that Jesus withdrew himself and prayed. Luke 5, verse 16. Jesus withdrew himself and prayed. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why? In the previous verse, he withdrew himself and did what? Prayed. So now, it was not a healing service. It was a teaching service. But while the teaching was going on, the power of God was present. Because right now, as I'm teaching you, the power of God is present. It's present. So you pray. The Bible says in James 5 verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Amplified, we say, it makes tremendous power available. So how do we get alert for the immersion camp? Number one, place priority on God. Say after me, place priority on God. Say it again, I will place priority on God. Say it again, I place priority on God. Number two, you pray towards the camp. Number three, give for the camp. Actually, in the Old Testament feast, you actually bring a sacrifice, a special seed. Even if it's 500, a special seed. 1,000, 10,000, 1 million, 1 billion. I thought you say amen. Say, Lord, I'm bringing this. I'm bringing this. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to train you to be people who can walk with God. Look at Abraham. Any city he enters, first things first, before he does anything, as he enters the city, raise the altar, put a sacrifice. So give towards the camp. I won't talk about that too much. Number four, cut off distractions. Cut off distractions. Don't be in the camp and be checking Instagram. Check it during the breaks. And not just the distractions during the camp. Distractions that want to distract you from the camp. It's the morning you want to come for camp. Just remember, I'm supposed to buy for well. You now go to leave Beg Affairs. There's this guy's name I'm trying to remember. Erano. You now go there and see one queue. That is where you stay there. Your name will change to your. You see one long queue that will bend and enter one street. Instead of being, say, don't worry. Instead of buying this food now, I will come later. But you see this camp, I must go. Where there is a will, there is a way. Where there is no will, there's an excuse. Pastor, I don't have transport. And we have transport team. Say, church, please, I want to come. But right now, it's very, very well. They say, don't worry. The issue is, I used to tell my people, as long as we can support, fine. The most important thing is what we are sharing with you. Cut off distractions. James chapter 1 from verse 7 to 8. It says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Who is that man? Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It is a man who is double-minded that should not think that he should receive anything from the Lord. That's what he's telling you. So, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This double-minded man is the one he was speaking about earlier. For let not that man who is double-minded think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Please, are we seeing the Bible? Tell your neighbor, don't be double-minded. Don't be distracted. Some people will say, I've already planned and I'm not coming for this one. What if that's where the Holy Ghost wants to visit you? Say, see that I'm not coming. Don't be like that. Plan to come for all. Don't worry. You will get the transport. All the things you need, you will get. Number five, be expectant for an encounter. If possible, write your expectations down. Write it down. Be expectant for an encounter. You can put in brackets. Desire and hunger. Proverbs 23 verse 18, it says, for surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. What about the person that has no expectation? Maybe some people, their own is because they have been expecting before and it has not come to pass. Well, God does not forget. Look at Zechariah. Even when Zechariah was old and said, you know what, I will just serve God. I will leave this child matter. I've tried, I've prayed, I've asked God. It's as if God is not hearing. Well, let me just be doing what I'm doing. The angel came. He was not praying for the child. The angel came and said, I know you are old, but you will get your child. I want to pray for you. I know you may have given up on something, but God has not forgotten. In the name of Jesus, in this camp meeting, even files in your life that you have closed, God will open them and answer them. God will open them and answer them. God will open them and answer them. Maybe you are here and there's been a pain in your body. There's been a swelling that only you know. Only you knows about this thing in your body. And you have prayed and prayed and prayed. You have ignored it. I said, okay, if God will do it, fine. If he will not do it, fine. But in the name of Jesus, God opens it and answers it. Amen. Now in the name of Jesus, amen, receive your deliverance. Now in the name of Jesus. Say after me, I receive. Be expectant. The Bible says in Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. You know, one of my sons asked me a question. Some of you have thought about that question too. He said, why is it that when people are receiving the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, some will speak and some will don't speak? Is it the problem of the minister? Or is it the problem of God? Or is it the problem of the person? Have you seen something like that before? So you see five people and somebody says, right now you can receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. The problem of this person, this one was speaking in tongues. Then they get to the other ones. It's as if they are trying. And I say, it's not coming. It's not coming. So he asked me, what is the, why, do you have any, he was asking me, actually it was Pastor Ennie of Lagos Church. He was asking me, Pastor, is there any doctrinal reason why that happens? I said, yes. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, the Bible says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Then everybody read the last part. So, when it comes to baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit, actually, if you want to go by the doctrinal explanation, no, it means being born again. So, what do we mean a man is baptized into Christ? It means that you have been immersed into Christ. That's what he's saying here. So, how does that happen? When you get born again and say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into himself, into Christ. Are you with me? So, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Which body? The body of Christ, right? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink, to drink. So, there are two experiences. There's the experience of getting born again, and there's the experience of drinking into God to the point where you are full and you begin to speak in tongues. You see that second one? You know that statement, they can bring you to the river, but they cannot force you to drink. In the same way, the Holy Ghost can put you inside, but you need hunger to drink. The reason why they will lay hands on two people and one will speak in tongues and another one will not speak in tongues is because somebody else is drinking. Another is not drinking. If you like, lay your leg. If the hunger is not strong enough, he will not drink. And it is that drinking that determines if you'll be full or not. Are you with me? That's why you will see Peter preaching in Acts chapter 10. Peter did not even say, receive the Holy Ghost. While he was yet speaking, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. Because people were hungry. They were dragging it. Say, come on us. Come on us, Holy Ghost. Come on us. That's the same reason why in the service, they will release the power of God. Some people will fall. Some people will be under power and they will fall. I know they fall for that. They can feel the power of God. They can feel their legs shaking. They can feel. Say, me, I know fall. This place, no. They are resisting it. Anyone to fall, you all cookie or something. Don't worry. I've been in your shoes. I knew when I had to tell myself, Holy Spirit. At the point, I didn't like to cry in service. How will I be in the church in service? I'll be crying. Why will I be crying? But when I felt like crying, I know that every time I cried like that, it was as if a weight was lifted from me. And finally, how must we be alert at the immersion camp? Engage in the camp with all your heart. I will advise you, if you can buy a small jotter,
prepare a small note, bring it. The camp will start in Abuja, it will continue in Lagos, it will continue in Port Harcourt. All these sessions are important. If you miss, okay, after the Abuja own, Abuja people should not say, we are done with our own. Lagos does not concern me. Follow online. You must not have big data to follow on YouTube. That Mixelaru link, that small, that link, if it's the audio, follow. While you are eating food, be listening. Are you with me? I'm trying to train you. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Are you seeing this? Everybody read this verse. Some people asked me a question one time. Say, Pastor, why is it that it's only some men of God that talk about all these special encounters with God? That you hardly hear random people just say, I was praying and God said to me. In the morning I was doing this and God said to me. It's because you only seek and find when you search with God is the kind of person that he knows the state of your heart. So he can say, this one, you're not really serious. If I bring a very serious encounter, you will not take it. Let me leave him alone. I've not seen people like that. You, even you as you are, there are people in your family. You have some of your sleepings you don't correct. Say, this one, you know, go here. So no need. Let me be going where I'm going. There are some people in your circle. Even as they are, you know that this one is not a serious person. Don't you will see a job opportunity you want to send to him, you will think twice. Should I tell him? Don't be the kind of person that God will be thinking twice. That's another sermon soon. Don't be a person that God will think twice about. Years ago, I had a close relation of mine. Should I say this? No, let me leave it. Because it's not a good story. I wanted to do something good for him. And I was praying, and the Lord said, go ahead. You don't do it. I was like, but Lord, I want to do it. He said, okay, you think I'm doubting? You are doubting me. Give him this favor and see what he will do with it. And I did. I said, okay, Lord, let me obey you. I gave him what he did there. I went back and said, Baba, I'm sorry. The Lord said, my opinion about a man is more serious than any other opinion. Well, be expectant. Take it serious. So you engage with the camp with all your heart. When we are praying, pray. When we are worshiping, worship. When we are writing and learning, we see people writing. You don't just say that. They're just, no, write. Before I used to say you can type with your phone. Now I don't advise it again. You are typing to your phone like this. Allah just dropping 300,000. You say amen. You just see the alert. They are not in the service again. Okay, I will buy 2 wigs. I will buy kinky. Yeah. Then that pepe chawama. Nice. The pastor is saying, and the kerygma, the apostle preaching of the gospel, Christ came. He said, no, Lord. By the time the next thing you just hear is just jump on your feet and begin to give him praise. Praise God. Off your phone. After the service, you put it on. You will be, in fact, it will be good. All of everything is all the good news coming together at once. Hooray! Finally, Jeremiah 30, verse 21. Jeremiah 30, verse 21. It says, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. Amen. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me? Saith the Lord. Ah, God. This verse is something that the way this verse is the way most Bible verses are. They put things in reverse. So he's saying, who is that people or who is that man that the nobles will come out from? And the governors will come out from the midst of them. He said, and I will cause him to draw near to me, and he shall approach unto me. Then he says, for who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? That means, if I engage my heart to follow the Lord, or if I engage myself and put all my effort, all my strength, all my emotion into following the Lord, after a while, it's not just been me doing it, God will now begin to draw me. Are you seeing this? I will cause him to draw near and shall approach unto me. Who has excuses me for? Maybe you woke up, you said today, I'm going to pray by 12 midnight. You prayed by 12 midnight today. You prayed by 12 midnight tomorrow. You did it for 1 week. Then the next week, you stopped.
Then all of a sudden, you don't wake up at 12 midnight. After a while, you wake up again. You know what's happening? Because you started the process, God began to help you afterwards. Are you with me? That's what he's saying here. If you engage your heart, a time will not come, he will begin to draw you. Say, okay, this guy is serious. Oh yeah, come. Who is this that engaged his heart? And the consequence of that is that he will begin to make you nobility. Nobles will come out from you. Governors will come out from you. That's what he's saying here. Are you following this? For who is this that engaged his heart? So you engage your heart. When we are praying, when you are shouting glory, shout glory. When they are jumping, you say, now my steez now. You don't know I'm very dear, me. Jump. I know it's not easy. Jump. Glory! Glory! Amen.